Hello, church. This is your pastor here to speak a message to you that I've entitled Learning the Secret of Contentment. Some time ago, I read a story of this wealthy businessman who stumbled upon a fisherman, and that fisherman was sitting idly by his boat, not fishing at all. And the businessman asked him, you know, why aren't you out there fishing? And the fisherman replied to him, well, I've caught plenty of fish, all that I need. And the fisherman was pretty content with that. And the businessman said, well, why don't you go out there and catch more fish so you can catch more than what you need? And the fisherman said, well, I don't know why I would need more than what I need. And the fisherman then listened as the businessman explained his reasoning around that. He said, well, you can go out there and catch more fish than what you need. You sell those fish, you make more money, you get a bigger boat, you go deeper into the water, you catch more fish, you make more money, you then buy nets and cast those nets, catch even more fish, make more money, buy a whole fleet of boats, and then you end up being rich like me. The fisherman said, well, if I become rich like you, then what would I do then? He said, well, at that point, then you sit down and just enjoy life. To which the fisherman said, what do you think I was trying to do right now? You know, the fisherman was very content with his life. He had caught more than enough fish than what he needed. Yet it wasn't until that rich businessman, that driven person came to him saying, why are you content with your life? You need to go forth with more and more and more and more. And I thought about that with us as human beings. We really are like that fisherman. Every day we have a choice to live our lives, to use what God has given us, and then the world around us, some people around us, and even our thoughts will come against us and cause us to think that we need something more. We need to be somewhere else. We need to be doing something else. I mean, that's the whole point of marketing and advertising and commercials. They're trying to convince you to purchase that product because if you have that in your life will be better. We struggle as a culture. Even before this virus situation, we've struggled for decades as a society with contentment. What does it mean to really find contentment? And we live in a time now when it's not easy to be content at all. These days that we live in are unlike any other days in human history. We are struggling as people are being sent home from work, as children have come home from school, as people are struggling perhaps financially in all these different ways to know what they're to do with their lives. There are people now that are cooped up in their houses and with more time than they've ever had before, yet they don't know what to do with that time. And so many of the amenities and things that we enjoy in life is so maybe you want to go to Disney World because you've got some free time away from work or school. Well, Disney World's closed. Maybe you want to go and see some friends and hang out with them. Well, they may have the coronavirus or be carrying it, or you may be carrying it. That's too risky. Maybe you want to go to your favorite sporting event or favorite movie theater. Well, those things are being closed down too right now. And so we find ourselves kind of living in this twilight zone, this stir craziness of this society that we live in. And it's not easy to be content right now because of the lingering fears and worry. If you're tuned in to social media, if you're tuned in to the never-stopping media that we see on the news, it's one depressing story after another depressing story. And there's fears about an economic recession. And then we initially thought with the COVID-19 crisis that, you know, we'll be in this for just a few weeks and then we'll get on with life. But now there have been more and more decisions being made by government leaders that are indicating to us that this is going to take many, many weeks for this virus to pass. So what do we do? How do we find contentment in such a situation that we find ourselves in? You know, I thought about that in the sense that there's this kind of collective restlessness. There's a collective loneliness, just a weirdness right now. Nothing seems or feels normal. I mean, you can go outside, you can be around other people, but you got to be 6 feet away from them. And you have all these restrictions being placed on us. As Christians, the one thing that we have taken for granted now for many, many years as Christians in America, the freedom to gather together in worship. We have still religious freedom as a nation, yet now because of what our government is telling us for the safety of our society, we're not to gather in groups larger than 10. And so here we are grateful for the gift of technology. Because of that, I'm able to communicate God's word to you. But let's just be clear, there's no substitute for that face-to-face personal touch. Our expressions of fellowship with other Christians, our experience of Christian gathering and worship is very different. It just feels strange. It doesn't feel normal. And to use a familiar line that some of you may know about, this is going to be a lot older than some of you, but that tune of do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, it's the Twilight Zone. We're living in the Twilight Zone. It feels so strange right now. So how are we to find contentment in days like this? Well, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4. We were in Philippians 4 last week. We're going to be in Philippians 4 today. So turn there in your Bible or go there in your Bible app, Philippians chapter 4. And before I read, starting in verse 10, I want to tell you about an old television show that I read about this last week. And there's a husband. He's coming home from work. And there he was having a conversation with his wife around the dinner table. And in that conversation with his wife, he was very excited explaining to her how he had this great idea about starting a business, and that this business would be a way for them to really have financial freedom. And so at that moment, his wife got up and left the table, and she went and she found some money that she had set aside. She anticipated her husband having such an idea. She came back to the table, showed him the money that she had set aside from the work she had been doing, and the two of them began to celebrate and get excited about the possibility and dream about their future together as a family. And the husband was so excited about that, being there at the dinner table, seeing the dinner plates. He said, honey, you know, one day we're going to be eating off of golden plates. To which his wife responded by saying, darling, will it taste any better? Jeremiah Burroughs was an English Puritan preacher from the 1600s. He had this to say about contentment. I'm going to read his quote directly. What a foolish thing is this, that because I have not got what I want, I will not enjoy the comfort of what I have. There is a great deal of folly in a discontented heart. It's true. We are the most comfortable, most blessed society in human history. Yet we find it so difficult to be content, especially now in these uncertain days. Well, God's Word speaks to being content. In Philippians chapter 4, we were in Philippians 4 last week talking about how we are not to be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication. Look with me now, Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. I'm going to read verses 10, 11, and 12 from the NIV, and I'm going to read verse 13 from the New King James Version. The Apostle Paul writes, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want to share three truths from these verses with you that I believe will speak to your heart and help you understand how we might learn the secret of contentment. Number one, contentment must be learned by experience. Contentment must be learned by experience. The Apostle Paul uses this word contentment multiple times in these verses, but not just the word contentment. He says in verse 11, I have learned to be content. In verse 12, he says, I have learned the secret of being content. Now, in this Greek word translated learned for us means specifically to learn by experience, to learn by practice, to learn by use. Paul is writing this letter to Christians in Philippi, the Philippian church. And Paul is saying to them that a person's contentment is not given to them immediately upon their salvation. Rather, contentment is learned through our circumstances and through our life experiences. We learn by practice how to be content. We often don't like to learn things by experience because of our impatience and also because of the real frustration that comes with failure. I have three children, two teenagers and one school-aged son. And all three of my children are able to ride a bicycle with no assistance. And I can remember helping all three of them learn how to ride a bike for the first time. They moved from beyond training wheels. And so I remember Lauren as a little girl in Opelika where we lived. Our street we lived on was very flat. There was a cul-de-sac at the end of the street, perfect place to learn how to ride a bicycle. And I stood there behind Lauren on her little bike. I'm very tall and I'm having to hunch down with my hand just to hold the back of her bike seat, running behind her, just huffing and puffing, and my back is breaking because I have to bend over to help her. And then finally, when I felt like she had the balance just right, I let go of her and let her go. And there she went, riding her bike. Of course, what would happen? She would crash, she would fall, scrape her knee, get back up, try it again. And I remember with Carson, we lived in Wadawi when he learned how to ride a bike. And so I remembered how painful it was to bend over and hold the back of Lauren's bike seat. So I found this thing online called the Bike Buddy. And what an ingenious invention it was. It's a bar that's adjustable with a handle, and you attach it to the back axle, the rear axle of the bicycle. So there I stood behind my son Carson as a little guy, just with total control over his balance. And there we lived in a rental house up on a hill. At the bottom of the hill was this circular cul-de-sac, and there we went around and around in a circle, Carson and I finally would let go of him, and he'd ride straight, and he'd fall down, get back up, try it again. And so my third child, Andrew, he learned how to ride a bicycle here in LaGrange. Our neighborhood that we live in LaGrange, in Eagles Rest, has a nice playground with a grassy field that's very flat. So I took him out on that field, remembering just how difficult it was when the older kids would fall down and scrape their knees on their bicycles. And there with Andrew, using the balance buddy, I still had that bike buddy. I worked with him and finally let go of him, and there he went riding his bicycle. All three of my kids had to learn how to ride a bike by experience. There's no other way to learn how to ride a bicycle. You know, I could tell you how to ride a bike, what you should do. There's no way you'll learn how to ride a bicycle except by practice, by experience. Contentment is just like that. It is not quickly bestowed upon you. It is not something you can learn intellectually. Contentment comes from the heart because it's expressed by how you feel. Contentment comes from the mind because it's an attitude, it's your perspective, and your outlook on life. Last Sunday morning, I shared a message about God's peace. Contentment is God's given peace to us, God's calm, even joy, regardless of what comes before you in life. Contentment is when you're able to accept the good and the bad, when you're able to accept prosperity and adversity, all with a sense of serenity. And that's going to bring us to our next truth. First truth being, contentment must be learned by experience. Secondly, you can be content in any and every situation you find yourself in. Look again with me at Philippians 4, verses 11 through 12. Paul writes, "I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." Powerful verses. Paul's personal testimony that he knew firsthand. He had learned how to be content in every circumstance, in any situation. Oh, how relevant that is for us right now. These are unique days, unlike any that any of us have ever experienced. But we can be content. We can learn how to be content even now. One author said this about contentment. "Contentment came from giving up wishing I was someone else, wishing I was somewhere else, or wishing I was doing something else." So true. But so much of what we find in advertising, so much of what we find in social media, whether it's intended to be that way or not, you see this snapshot of this person's life, and you have this envy. You want to be like them. You want to be where that person is. You want to be doing what that other person is doing. It's just the breeding ground for being discontented. It's so true the way our culture is set up. We make people long to envy and want to be like other people. It's human nature. It's also how our society works. But you and I must give up this idea that we've got to be somewhere else. We've got to be someone else. We've got to be doing something else to be content. If not, we'll never be content where God has placed us. God has made you who you are. God has put you where you live right now. God has given you tasks to do right now. Those tasks may be very different because of this coronavirus situation, yet still God has given you things to do. He's made you who you are. He's planted you right here where you are listening to this message right now. God wants you to say, I'm going to receive all that you've given me, who I am. I'm going to learn to be content. These days are fertile ground for us to learn how to be content. Can we learn to be content when so many of the amenities, so many of the things that we've taken for granted or have been now taken away from us, things that we've always been able to do, now we can't do them for an uncertain period of time? Can we now learn to be content? Yes, the Bible says absolutely yes. I'll give you two examples, just personal experience examples of a dear friend. I have a dear friend, and he lost his wife a couple of years ago, his wife of many years, and he shared a beautiful email tribute speaking from God's Word about his personal story of how God gave him the strength to overcome what he referred to as just this fear that was tormenting him. It took him 14 months to get through the fear of just not having his sweet wife by him. And my friend wrote about that and encouraged us in that way in his email. It was emailed to family and close friends. I'm thankful to be a part of that group. And then another man responded. He did a reply all to my friend's email. I don't know this man who replied to my friend, but his testimony was powerful as well. He says, this month, the month of March, marks one entire year of being bedridden with little fellowship. And he said, I've spent the entire week, it seems, talking to people, encouraging them on the phone and by email. I'm going to read what his email says. Counseling people who are scared to death about being cooped up at home. And this guy says, I have to testify that this year has been a highlight in my life. Not one I would have chosen, but God took all the negatives and turned them to my good. I've gone deeper in Scripture than ever before. And yes, a book is forthcoming, and I've spent more time in prayer. I have to say that this has been one of the sweetest times of my life. May God bless all of you who are feeling cooped up today. So here's a man who's been bedridden for a year. Here is my dear friend who's lost his wife for 2 years now. Both are experiencing the freedom that God wants them to have, that God wants you to have, because both of them have learned, as the Apostle Paul writes here in Philippians 4:12, the secret of being content in any and every situation. Paul says in verse 12, he's learned the secret. Now, there's power to knowing a secret. It's information that you share with someone else, a small circle of people, a circle of trust. You have this great knowledge, this secret information. Paul says, I've learned the secret. And then he tells us, he unveils this secret to us in verse 13. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. J.B. Phillips did a modern translation of English back in the 1900s. It's not that modern anymore, but for that time it was modern. He translates this verse this way, I am ready for anything through the strength of the one who lives in me, which brings us to a third and final truth. First, we learn contentment comes by experience. Secondly, we can learn to be content in any and every situation. Third, the secret of contentment is found through the strength of Jesus Christ who lives in you. Now, it would be very helpful at this moment to go back to the Greek meaning of the word content that the Apostle Paul uses in these verses. The word the Apostle Paul uses in what's called Koine Greek, or the common Greek language, was a well-known word among the Greek Stoic philosophers. The word literally means self-sufficient. In his commentary, Warren Wiersbe says that this is a person whose resources are found within him, so he doesn't have to depend on anything outside of himself. You know, that sounds like the the typical American. We don't want to ask for help from anyone else. We want to be fully self-sufficient. Yet here, Paul is not talking about selfishness or being self-sufficient in himself. He is linking this self-sufficiency to Christ who lives in him. The meaning of the Greek language here with contentment is beautifully captured in the translation of Scripture called the Amplified Bible. It's that translation that will give a verse and then brackets and parentheses and give fuller, deeper meanings of the Greek language there for the verses. I'm going to read from Philippians 4:13 from the Amplified Version of the Bible. It says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. Then it puts a bracket. That bracket says, I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Do you see the secret? It's Jesus in us. The power of Jesus living in us, enabling us to be content in any circumstance. Now, if you want to have the power of Christ in you, that means that Jesus has to be the Lord of your life. And so if He's not the Lord of your life, it could be for a couple of reasons. First, it could be that you've never given your life to Jesus Christ that He might be your Lord and Savior. We call this being born again. We call this getting saved, beginning your walk with Jesus Christ. You must, the Bible says, acknowledge that you have sinned against God. All of us have sinned and we've come short of God's glory. You then must, by faith, believe that Jesus died for you on a cross and that on the third day He rose from the dead, that there on that cross He took your sin and my sins and the sins of the world as a sacrifice for our sins. The Bible says we're to, by faith, trust in Jesus, believe that He died for us, but also that we're to repent. To repent means to change. We change our view about God. We change our view about our sin. We change our view about ourselves. We turn away from that sin and call out to God to save us. When we do that and cry out to God in faith, the Bible says that we're then born again. We're made new in Christ, and Jesus comes to then live inside of our hearts through the person of the Holy Spirit. So if you're a Christian, you have full access this morning to the power of Christ in you. It begins with becoming a Christian. But then even as a Christian, last week I said from Colossians, the Bible says, let the peace of Christ reign in your heart. It's possible then as Christians to not let His peace reign. It's possible as Christians to not be content. To say, I'm going to let myself be in charge today and not let Jesus be in charge today. But if Jesus Christ is on the throne of your heart and life, He will then give you His peace, His love, His joy, His contentment. It's Jesus in us. That's the secret of being content. So when you and I aren't content in any and every situation, it's because we're not allowing Jesus to reign as Lord of our lives. The Apostle Paul today is saying to all of us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's saying, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. He's saying to you that you can be sufficient fully in Christ's sufficiency. Today you and I can learn this secret. It's clear. It's not hidden. And I want us to respond to this message today by singing a worship song together. It's the first time that I ever gathered together with you, my new church family, almost 5 years ago. You sang a song. We didn't really sing new worship songs around my last church I served, so it was a new song at the time by Hillsong Worship called Christ is Enough for Me. And I love seeing our church all together for a combined worship service, all singing this great song together, and it became a favorite song for our entire family. Kind of the first song that really gripped us as we thought about God bringing us to serve you in ministry. And so I want us to sing this song together. It captures the essence of what it means to find contentment in Christ Jesus, who truly is enough for you and every person in this world. Would you pray with me now? Father, I pray that You would help us be content. Help us to be grateful and thankful. Lord, there is truly, as Jeremiah Burroughs prayed, folly in a discontented heart. God, you have given us life. You've given us breath. You've given us food to eat. You've met our needs. Lord, how can we then not be content? Lord, help us to give up that longing to be someone else, to be somewhere else, to be doing something else, God. Help us to learn the secret of being content. It means Jesus is reigning in our hearts. God, it comes through experience. Just like riding a bike. It comes through moments like this when we realize, Lord, maybe I haven't been content this last week. God, I turn from that. I repent of that. I've been falling down, like falling down off the bike. I want to repent of that sin, God. I want to make you, Jesus, Lord of my life. Lord, I want to say that I'm tired of saying, Lord, here are the terms. If this, this, and this will happen in my life, then God, I'll be happy. Lord, may we not demand those kind of things of you, God. Help us to be content. Any and every situation. Thank you, God, for giving us the secret. His name is Jesus. Lord Jesus, my prayer is that you would be enough for me, enough for this church, enough for every person who is hearing this message. Lord Jesus Christ, would you now be enough for us? May we decide now to follow Jesus and be full of His power, His presence, His Spirit. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for listening today. We'll conclude our time with this song. Sing with your family now. Christ is enough for me.